So, Steven, you should let us know what a ass tattoo feels like, because I know you have tattoos, right?
I do.
There has to be one down there.
It's not one down there.
There isn't?
No.
I'm disappointed.
Wow.
I bet you there is one down there and you just don't want to tell us.
There's really not. There's really not. I do have lots of tattoo thoughts, though, about this episode. You don't have any tattoos, do you?
No, I don't. I want one, mm-hmm. but I have a problem with, like, deciding and committing, you know, all the way. And then I was going to get one, and then the pandemic happened, and that was, like, a really good excuse to, like, not get one.
Yeah. I have, like, a half sleeve in my right arm, and I started it before the pandemic, and it was, like, the first thing I did after having my second vaccination was finishing that tattoo.
We are talking about episode 2 of season 8, The Incentive, originally airing on September 29th, 2011. We have a cold open and other things happen, but I'm pretty focused on this tattoo.
Well, there is cold open. It okay, not super funny. You think what?
Agree.
Yeah.
I was trying to actually going to do like our little open with the Kevin speak, and I couldn't manage it. It seems much more mentally taxing to accomplish the limited speak that he attempts in this cold open than it is to just like speak normally.
I also love that Pam's response is, we should get him to the hospital. Clearly something is happening in his brain.
Kevin, do you feel okay?
Me feel good. Body strong. Sleep big last night.
Yeah, I think we should get him to the hospital.
Yeah, all right, Kev, why don't you come with us?
No, he's fine.
He's fine.
He's always been like that.
No, he hasn't.
I guess Kevin says his mechanic doesn't speak very much English, but sort of in short bursts, they figured out what they were talking about. And he says, yeah, it's really a way to speed things up. Of course, it's not, as Jim points out in a meeting with Andy later on.
So me think, why waste time? Say lot word when few word do trick.
Andy says that they have a word code in the office, and this is kind of the equivalent of just wearing underwear to work. I find that to be kind of the funniest part of the cold open. But
yeah.
Other than that, it just kind of, it seems a little long, too, because I don't find it that funny.
Which is ironic, since it's about speaking shortly, that it's a longer cold open.
Sometimes words you know need use, but need for talk.
So the main part of this episode, Dwight is holding a meeting, and this is really nice that we get the first vision of the Saber Pyramid.
Yeah, it's a really bad tablet that's shaped like a triangle, but you can feel the power of the pyramid, which the best line delivery in this whole episode is later on when Stanley's on the phone and he like shouts about the... the power of the pyramid to a client very excitedly.
You got to unleash the power of the pyramid.
This, of course, comes back. There's a whole episode dedicated to this later, but it's I like that we get a tease of it now.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it comes out of nowhere. They like they slip it in right here in the very beginning of the season. But Andy comes on in to the meeting, interrupting Dwight, and he's very concerned about picking a tie because Robert California is due back into the office, and Andy is continuing to be nervous about making first impressions.
Yeah, yeah, he's very much on edge still around Robert California. And of course, we learn in the previous episode and this episode more of what Robert thinks about Andy, but Andy isn't given that knowledge, right? In fact, he at one point asked Robert directly, like, you know, why did you pick me? Why was I chosen? And like, he never gets an answer. So I understand why Andy feels so uncertain in these episodes, because, you know, he's on uneven ground with this guy and he just doesn't know where he stands. And I think we've all been in that situation, and it can be uncomfortable. And ironically, it always leads to you doing like the most embarrassing thing in the moment, because you're trying to work around what you think someone else thinks of you. You know, we've all been there.
And especially it's pretty prevalent the way Andy feels, because when Robert California first comes into the office, Andy calls him Dad.
Yeah.
Hi, Dad. Oh, boy.
Hello, Andy. Excellent tie.
Yeah, I think him saying, hey, Dad, like that puts us directly into where Andy's headspace is. Because we know from other episodes that Andy's not the favorite child.
I mean, they took his name away.
Yeah, right. Like, that's a pretty good sign. You're number two. So
Andy is treating him like he wants to, like, impress his father. And he's looking for the approval of his father, which we know struggled with and has never really gotten. So here, Andy is trying to show Robert California that he was the right person to pick for the job, while at the same time having that, like, internal reluctance mm-hmm. of, like, am I the right person to have been picked for this job? And what Andy is going up against, too, is Robert California kind of gives, like, a very invigorating TED Talk-like speech about kind of the golden age of personal service. And he inspires the office and then passes that on to Andy of, like, continue this inspiration, keep inspiring them, and also double our sales this next quarter. So Andy is getting put into, like, a lot of pressure to perform, and he doesn't even really know what he's doing in this job or how to succeed in any of these demands that Robert California is giving him. But Andy wants to obviously please him. He has that strong, compelling action to, you know, make sure that Robert California respects him.
Yes. I mean, we get this, like, Robert California moment, and I really liked it. Like, I like what he says about, hey, there are these big companies, but you're still here. The company's still here. It's because people want that personal touch. People want help making choices.
If the office superstore was supposed to put us little suppliers out of business, why are we still here?
This is where we go.
You'd go someplace else. That's not it. That's not the answer.
It's a answer.
It's a wrong answer.
There are no wrong answers.
Take a look at where you are. Where you once worked in a dying industry, you now work at its birth. Those superstores are terrified of us.
Wait, they're terrified?
Let me tell you how I buy something these days. I know what I want. I go on the internet and get the best price. Or I don't know what I want, and I go to a small store that can help me. The era of personal service is back. You are back. You'll find that customers will pay our higher prices, and then they will thank us. And we will say to them, you are welcome.
Like, he's totally right on, like, you know, and, like, the place breaks into applause. Ryan looks very impressed. Did you catch when Erin comes back in? Ryan, like, stops her so she, like, doesn't interrupt what he's saying, because, like, Ryan is apparently mesmerized by it. I like that little detail.
I really do love Robert California's speech here, and it says all the right things. And honestly, like, that's how I am now a consumer, exactly how he says, you know. So it makes a lot of sense, and it really does invigorate everyone in the office. And then he kind of, like, dips out. And the quick appearance of Robert California in this episode is, again, that testament to he isn't a replacement for Michael. This is a completely different dynamic. And we aren't spending the first half of this season kind of, like, oversaturating ourselves with Robert California. Ooh, that sounds real bad. Anyway.
We get it. You love Robert California. Jeez.
I think that they're playing it really well here, where they are having him just kind of as, like, a touchstone in each episode. Yeah. Okay, he's here. He's kind of the catalyst to get people selling. He is the reason Andy is now manager, and we're moving ahead with, like, all these characters that we already know. So yeah, it's moving along really well. And I think that the transition of bringing Robert California in is continuing to do well, even in the second episode.
Yeah, I like the way it's handled as well.
Before we move on from Robert California's visit, can we quick talk about Erin bringing him some coffee?
Yeah. So when Robert California comes in, she's like, oh, do you want a cold beverage? And he says, I would love a cup of coffee. And so when they're talking in Andy's office, she comes in with this mug of cold and what we learn is old stale coffee. But it's filled so close to the top that it's, like, spilling on her hands as she carries it.
Oh, thank you. Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, just put it down.
Oh.
That is very cold.
Yeah, it's old.
Why would I
asked if you wanted a cold beverage and you said coffee.
Why don't we get Robert a nice hot fresh cup and I will have this.
Andy, you don't want that.
I've been craving a freezing cup of old coffee. Mmm.
I like that they bring back a little bit of the goofiness of Erin. I mean, we've had that before, but I think that this is the first bit that she's participated in a while that has been that real, like, physical comedy that she has. And I love it. I love that she messes up the coffee order.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense, but it doesn't.
And it's also an opening for Robert to know that Andy and Erin have a past and maybe a present slash future. Like, he gets it, although he says that he loses interest very quickly as Andy tries to explain the situation to him, which is funny. We should also talk about Daryl.
Robert California isn't the only visitor to the office today. We also have an appearance from Daryl's ex-wife.
Yeah, Justine, who mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever seen before.
We know that she's Jada's mom, and we've heard phone calls with Justine before and kind of like some fighting here and there, but I don't think we've ever seen Justine.
Mm-mm.
And Daryl introduces her to the office when she arrives, so that is pretty confirmed.
Yeah. But apparently they hooked up the night before, and so Daryl's in a great mood.
I can't tell you what I did with my ex-wife last night. I have to sing it. We took a shower, we were naked, we scap dap dap do 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 do.
I love Daryl so much. There's also this little comment that she's there to talk with him, and we don't really see what comes of that, but I guess we will in the future. But he has this comment as he, like, shuts the door and then the blinds, like, I don't know what you did last night, but I could barely walk.
I've been thinking about you all morning. I don't know what you did. I can barely walk today.
Man, Daryl, way to go. Exciting evening.
Yeah, Daryl's in a real good mood. I think that's, like, our little B-plot, but it is. It's such a little trickle. These episodes are pretty focused,
yeah.
I think, these first two episodes. But we are, you know, bringing in these little side plots here and there. We also have another one with Pam and Angela in that they are, you know, sharing being pregnant in the office. And Angela has found a new outlet for her judgmental attitude of things. And it's being pregnant and judging Pam for everything that she does. And so she and Pam kind of set up that they're going to take walks based on an article that Angela read in a magazine that she then shames Pam basically for not reading. Mm-hmm.
Has an adult member of your family read this particular issue?
I flipped through it.
So you saw the article on the importance of taking frequent walks while you're pregnant?
Of course, yeah.
So back to Robert California, I guess. After this rousing speech, he tells Andy that, hey, I want you to double the growth from last month. Andy, to his credit, knows the percentage of growth right off the top of his head. They grew 4%, and California wants them to double that. And that's a pretty big task. And I think pretty quickly, Andy realizes that that's going to be difficult. And so there's this great little moment where he's going to talk to the bullpen. And instead of just staying there, he like sits on Jim's desk and like knocks all of Jim's things over, trying to get up there. Andy also calls him T-Bone at some point. So everyone has a nickname. So it's like P-Dog for Pam and E-Dog for Erin. But Jim replies, Andrew. Like he's not having any part of the nickname business.
This is all very Michael Scott, I have to say. And from reading about this episode, it kind of got mixed reviews. And right basically in the top of Dunderpedia, it states that like the episode was criticized for kind of redoing a lot of the bits that have previously been done. And I definitely do see that. But I also can kind of excuse it because Andy has watched Michael be manager for so long, and maybe with, you know, Andy's mimicking techniques, he is trying out some of the same things that he's seen Michael do. Like, you know, we've seen Michael perch up on Jim's desk for like a little rap session before, just like the way Andy does. And we've also seen Michael try and do like clever little nicknames. And same thing that Andy does. So we've seen these bits before, but it's almost like Andy trying to find his way into how he's going to be a manager. And that leads into Andy coming up with this idea about incentives, which drives the majority of this episode, where he reveals to everyone in the conference room while he's having a meeting that he has this table full of goodies, and he is going to be letting people exchange points that they earn for like doing their job better to cash them in for prizes, mm-hmm. very much like, I guess, a Dave and Buster's or like, you know, a Chuck E. Cheese. So this is his grand plan to motivate people to get selling more because he needs to double everything for the next quarter. He has a lot of pressure. And so he comes up with this. And it's pretty clever. It's very Andy. Mm-hmm. But I applaud him for trying something new. Of course, everyone in the office who is sitting in the meeting, they switch it around on Andy in a way that he did not expect.
Yeah. Jim, of course, wants to turn it to 11.
What if we went all the way up to 500 points?
Yeah, it's a crazy amount of points.
But what if?
Well, what do you want?
I don't know. For such a crazy number, I'd like something pretty crazy.
All right, for 500 points, I will wear a dress to work.
That's pretty good. What about for 1,000 points?
I'll run naked through the parking lot with a donut on my ding-dong. Yeah, you like that?
And everyone's reacting really positively to these, like, personal incentives that, like, Andy's planning on humiliating himself for points.
Oh, yeah.
So the office is getting into it, and Andy, in exchange, is also getting excited about it. He's like, oh, so you like this. Okay, where else can I take this?
Yeah, he kind of gets swept away in it, again, in sort of a Michael Scott fashion. But we get to the big one. 5,000 points.
All right, for 5,000 points, I will let you tattoo whatever you want on the stern of the old SS Bernard. Oh. Here we
go. All right. Really? All right, and you are totally serious.
Swear to God, hope to die. Now let's get to work.
Wait, but you did say we could pool our points, right? In that case, let's get to work, guys.
Yeah! Yeah.
Good, guys.
The next scene, we cut away and we see the office absolutely bustling. I mean, it looks like the floor of the stock market. Like, it is just humming. People are handing out forms and passing things to each other. And Andy is absolutely panicked.
Do you think it has something to do with that incentive program?
Oh, 100%. We all want to see you tattoo your ass.
Andy is he's starting to freak out. There's some shots of him looking pretty uncomfortable with their progress. He ends up calling a professor he had in college. He has his textbook in front of him. He's like, how can I deliver a blow to morale? I need to uninspire these people. Can you imagine getting that phone call?
Quick question. I may be missing a chapter here. De-incentivizing. What are your strategies? Looking for a real blow to morale. Why? Well, I guess you could say I'm in one of those classic ass tattoo incentive situations.
I love the thermometer style, like the chart that they've made as if you were pledging like a pledge drive and you're filling in the thermometer levels as you reach up to your goal. And instead of it being a thermometer, it's like legs and a butt, and they're filling it from the feet up all the way up to where he's going to get tattooed. It's so good. And it's making Andy just absolutely sweat. He is, it's quickly approaching. Everyone is working really hard. They are going to be pooling their points together, as Jim pointed out in the meeting, that was something Andy allowed, which is something he should not have allowed. And we find out they make the goal in one day.
Took them one day.
So does that mean that they doubled their sales for the quarter in that one day, or just that they accidentally reached Andy's point limit for the, you know, ass tattooing?
I like to think it's that they hit Robert California's goal.
Okay.
That seems like a bigger deal.
That's nicer to think about. I was thinking like he incentivized them to work for one day and they really didn't even make the goal, but that would be sad. All right, let's give Andy the bigger win here. We'll say that they reached the California goal as well.
Everyone's back in the conference room. We got a you know, find the idea. So Pam has some drawings. The first one is a clown vomiting, and there's like a word bubble, and it says, "I'm not as think as you drunk I am." Pretty good. The next one is a do not resuscitate. Like it's like a stamp, you know, it'd be like kind of like in a military font. That's a terrible idea for a tattoo unless you really have a DNR. Like, don't do that as a joke. We don't get to see Phyllis's nasty idea, but apparently people are really into it.
And this was Phyllis's idea.
Oh. So nasty, Phyllis. Yeah, all these drawings are kind of meant to be like the worst. They are not being kind at all. And I think that that's all part of the joke. I think that that's what everyone is, you know, they're all leaning into it. And Pam was drawing up some of the worst, best ideas.
It's fantastic.
But Andy, the whole time, I think he feels like this is legit happening. Like, this is actually what they want to tattoo on me. This is the worst. I gave them free reign and they're taking it to the nines.
So they go to the tattoo shop. Apparently the winning design is a baby like coming out of his butt and he's freaking out. He goes outside to breathe and Jim follows him out. And we get this really nice moment where Jim is encouraging to Andy.
Getting psyched up?
Yeah.
Andy, nobody really expects you to go through with this.
Tunes, what am I doing here? Why did Robert pick me? Confession, I don't know what I'm doing.
I mean, do you like it? You having fun? Tell you this, everybody else is having a lot of fun. And you did that.
My ass is only so big. I mean, I can't do this every day.
But I think it's big enough to buy you some time till your next great idea. Which, by the way, I can't wait for.
It's this really nice moment. We see these with Jim, right? We see them between Jim and Dwight sometimes, but now we have one between Jim and Andy. And I like this moment. I like when we have like caring, empathetic Jim on the scene.
Yeah, I like when the characters get a moment of vulnerability and they talk with each other. Like, it, you know, the goofing needs to take a break for a second and they can actually talk about like what's going on here. And so I like that they have this, especially like right outside the tattoo shop when, you know, everything is very heightened. The entire staff is like on this, you know, motivational high. But at the same time, they're leaning into this joke so much and they're pushing it as basically as far as it's going to go. And I think everyone's kind of like, how far is this going to go? And Andy's panicking and Jim's, you know, talk with him kind of goes in a way that I didn't expect when I remember first seeing this, and that Jim gives him an out. You know, he says that no one expects you to do this. And instead of taking the out and being like, oh yeah, guys, thanks. And everyone being like, oh, camaraderie. And then like leaving the tattoo shop. Oh no, this reinvigorates Andy and he gets right back in there and he is ready to receive his tattoo.
No one expects me to go through with this, right?
Absolutely not.
Let's ink my stink.
I have a few things to say about tattoo shops.
I'm ready for it.
Okay. One, when we first come in, some dude is getting his head tattooed. That's really hardcore. Like, what are you doing? It would also bleed like crazy, I'm sure. So Andy comes back in. He like has ripped his pants off and like jumps on the table. And the guy's like, please put your pants on. He won't do it. But then Pam hands the artist a new design. And he, I think, begins to like describe it. She's like, no, like we're just making these tweaks. And it's totally new art, which we'll see in a minute. But like, that's not the way any of this works. Like, if you're at a reputable place, you're going to have to sign off on your artwork before they do it because it's permanent. So it made me laugh. I'm not really like, oh, well, actually, I thought it was kind of funny the way that they operated in the scene.
Even if you think, you know, one line of dialogue would fix this, you don't think that you could go into a tattoo shop with a bunch of friends and then just be like, I'm okay with whatever they want tattooed on me?
I mean,
could you just sign away like, I won't sue you, tattoo shop?
and just that has not been happen? My experience.
I mean, you probably showed up with like thought out artwork before. Oh, yeah. Have you shown up ever with like a bunch of friends who are all sober? Everyone's sober because they're from work.
Maybe we try it at WBDC if that ever comes back.
Oh, who's getting the tattoo though?
You.
It can't be me. Not my first one.
Yeah, jump in.
That'd be awful on the SS Tiff. No thanks.
Jump right in. And so, yeah, so Andy gets the tattoos. Lots of screaming. The first scream is when it's like he like goes to like clean the area. And it reminded me so much of when Kelly was going to pierce Andy's ear. And he screams. And she just touches his ear with the ice.
I mean, he's consistent, right? Like, this is very Andy. Like, he has that like panic moment of the first contact. Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's a painful thing.
Obviously, you can go the ass tattoo route. And obviously, I'm going to like it.
We see the tattoo when they're done. And it's this great turn in this story where instead of doing something to humiliate Andy or to embarrass him, they've come up with exactly what he would want. And it's this little puppy and it's wearing a sweater and it says Nard.
It's a Nard dog. That's my nickety name. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Pull up your pants.
As soon as they leave the tattoo shop, Andy goes to check out his tattoo in the side mirror of a car that's just like parked there.
You're supposed to leave that wrapped and covered for a while.
So he's like pulling down his pants. I mean, okay, but if it's a mystery tattoo, wouldn't you peek? You would totally peek.
Maybe.
Yeah, of course you would. Of course you would. So yeah, he's out there on the street pulling down his pants, checking out his new tattoo. And the surprise on his face is so great, and everyone is like really supportive, and like they're so happy for him that he's happy. He even likes it. You see Pam kind of being really nervous because it's her artwork essentially that's tattooed now on the side of Andy's butt. But it all works out in the end. And we have this great voiceover of Robert California explaining why he picked Andy for the job, which is the question that was asked in the beginning of the episode.
Why did I choose Andy to run the office? Because he's all surface, uncomplicated. What you see is what you get. Could be a recipe for mediocrity, yes, but then again, it might just be why people fight for him. There's something about an underdog that really inspires the unexceptional.
But before he gets to that, like, punchline, it seems like it's going to be a really nice sentiment about why he chose Andy.
But yeah, then he calls everybody unexceptional. So it's in line with the winners and losers bit from last week.
So that's it. It's a pretty quick episode. We have we do have a little tag of we see Pam and Angela taking one of their pregnancy walks around the building. Angela is revealing to her that she is stressed about knowing that, you know, should she call Child Protective Services over someone she knows?
A coworker of mine is drinking caffeine while pregnant, and I don't know if I should call social services about it.
Angela, that's pretty transparently me.
Maybe.
You know, it's just herbal tea.
And mugs with trace amounts of coffee.
Yeah, I think you should call social services.
I already did.
It's kind of silly, but it's very, very Angela, mm-hmm. and that's how the episode ends. Although, you know, for me, that could have been, you know, popped into the middle of the episode, and we could have ended with Andy's tattoo. I think that would have been a little bit nicer, but we know that The Office can't let go of their tags.
Yeah, I have the same thought that it was a little weird at the end, but it worked for me, and I like Pam's line of, like, we don't have to pretend we're in this together.
I mean, really, like, so much of these things that happen as rewatchers that we are and rewatchers that our audience tends to be. I mean, all of these little things just kind of get jumbled up anyway. Yeah. Like, yes, you remember that happened, but I didn't remember that it was like at the very end of this episode in particular. So overall for this episode, you know, what were your feelings? I think it was a pretty standard, you know, baseline episode, but yet it established a lot of great things about Andy's management, and it put him into a position of being a little bit more confident in the way he's going to be leading everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely this episode's job, right? Like, Andy is going to be the manager, so we need to establish what that's going to look like. And there's, you know, echoes of Michael Scott and some of the things he does, but he is also very true to who we've known Andy to be. And I like that. I like that we're getting that in a way that is mostly fun and lighthearted, right? Like Robert California coming in and having this really demanding goal set, you know, basically he's still the new boss, and that could have been a pretty like bleak episode, but they made it, you know, fun and wacky, and I think it works.
So you should come back and join us next week when we talk about the next episode, episode 3 of season 8, Lotto. And before you do that, you should go and follow us over on Twitter at @tall_beats. You can find us individually at ISMH and at Tiff Arment. You can go and join and become a member over at The Incomparable and get fun goodies at the end of the year. You can get access to our members only bonus feed, and you can join us in the conference room, our members only Slack. Wait, before we end, you don't have any office theme tattoos, do you?
No.
That's too bad. You might need one.
It's a big commitment. I've got one cheek free still.
Oh, please get a Creed tattoo.
My heart belongs to music, but my ass belongs to these people.